Number 11, and we'll get down to where we want to go to tonight. Thank the Lord for whoever set that up here. Spiritual blessings fall down from the sky. Verse number 11 in Ephesians chapter 1 says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance." We talked about the inheritance last week, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Basically, all that means is that it's God's will to spiritually bless you. God is tickled to death to do that for you. Look at verse 12. "That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth." That's how you got saved. You heard the word first. "The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed," you trusted in the gospel, you heard the word preached, the death, burial, and the resurrection, you heard that you were a sinner, you read that in the scripture, you believed that you were a sinner, you believed that you couldn't get yourselves to heaven, that's what you believed, and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's a blessing. Who is the Holy Spirit of promise? Which is the earnest of our inheritance. Earnest is a down payment. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ moved the Holy Spirit into us to be a down payment until He can come and get us. The Holy Spirit's going to keep everything safe and secure until the Lord comes and gets us out of this evil world. And which is a blessing. That's an earnest. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. We looked last week at Romans 8:23, which told us what the purchased possession was. Under the praise of His glory. Notice verse 15. Here's a prayer. A prayer for the Ephesians. The saints here at Ephesus. "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not." Now remember, get your mind set on this. Apostle Paul is sitting in a jail cell. And he says, "I'm ceasing not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, number one, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, and that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power." Notice, here's where we ended last week. He's praying for the church here at Ephesus. He prays for them for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Now, I finished with that last week and finished up with that. You need all three of those. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 5, you ought to pray for wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him pray. And God will give you wisdom if you'll pray and ask for it. Now, knowledge is here in the Word of God. Let me illustrate it this way. Let's say that, I don't know how many auto mechanics are in the room tonight, but let's say that you've got a vehicle right in front of you, and you don't know how to change the motor out of it. So you've got a book. Here's a book. Gives you step by step of how to change the motor in a broke down car. Step by step. The book gives you the knowledge. All the knowledge you'll need to change out that motor is in that book. Now, how many of you could read the book step by step and change the motor out of a car? Just because you got the knowledge don't mean you have the understanding how to take the knowledge that you do have and change your motor out. And now that you've got the knowledge, here we got a book right here that tells us how to change a motor out of a broke down soul. Right here is a step-by-step manual that will lead you and guide you step-by-step how to live the Christian life. Yeah. You know how many people have the knowledge, but some people don't have the understanding? They, don't understand. Let's see, the fellow that the Ethiopian eunuch says, or Philip says, understandest what thou readest? And the Ethiopian eunuch says, how can I, except some man should gag me? So you may have the knowledge right here. Everybody in this room, if you've got a Bible like mine, you've got the same knowledge I have. You may not have the same understanding. But then on top of that, then you have to know have the wisdom to use the understanding to be able to use the knowledge. Sometimes it's just best to keep your mouth shut. Even though you know. You have the knowledge, you have the understanding. Sometimes it's just best just to let it go. Now, I didn't say compromise. I said sometime, be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. And so you have to have that. Of course, look at Colossians real quick. Just turn to your right real quick. Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 30 and verse number, where'd it go? 16, 3:16. A lot of good 3:16s in the Bible. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all what? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and contemporary spiritual songs. I misread it, I'm sorry. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of God, the knowledge, dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Colossians 3:16. Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 1. And let's look at something else here. Notice verse number 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. All right, watch verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ. Now, stay with this. All of these spiritual blessings that you receive from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All of these spiritual blessings you receive, the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, the Word of God, everything was wrought in Christ, was worked in Christ when? When He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. We have not grasped yet. We have not grasped yet. Yes, we get all excited. We shout on Easter Sunday morning. We as Christians, even your preacher, has not grasped yet and laid hands on what all God did for us when He raised up from the dead. When He raised up from the dead, He separated Himself from everybody else. And if you believe and trust in Christ, He did something for you when He raised from that. Matter of fact, let me show you something. Hold your place. Look at Romans chapter 8 real quick. Romans chapter 8. Now, if you don't shout on this, your shouter is broke. Romans chapter 8. All right, verse number, look at 10. Chapter 8, verse number 10. Romans. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. All right, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Okay. All right. Hold the phone. The same Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of you when you got saved.
Amen. Amen.
What does that mean for us? Okay. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you.
Amen.
Okay. The same Holy Spirit, the same member of the Trinity that rose Jesus from the dead. When you got saved, that same Holy Spirit moved in here. What does that mean? That means He's an earnest. That means He's a down payment. That means He's securing. He's sealing. And what does He do? You say, preacher, what's He going to do? Well, how many of you got loved ones out there in the ground right now? All right? Okay. If they're saved, the same Holy Spirit that was in Christ and rose Him from, or raised Him from the dead is the same Holy Spirit that's going to raise them from the dead one day. And guess what? The same Holy Spirit that seated Jesus Christ up there in heavenly places, raised Him up, seated Him up there. It's the same Holy Spirit lives in you, going to bring your loved one or you, whichever, you know, and change your mortal body, fashioned like unto His glorious body. Same Holy Spirit. Sometimes we think, we got the Holy Spirit living. Oh, okay, that's good. Hallelujah. Woo, good. But when you think it's the same, you say, I wonder if we'll ever get out of the ground. If Jesus got out of the ground and you got the same Holy Spirit that got Him out of the ground, you're coming up out of the ground.
Amen.
I mean, that's a blessing right there. What Romans 8 says right there. Now, go back to Romans or Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, verse 20, and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. All right, where's heavenly places? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Did you know there's another world coming? There's another world coming. You say, what's that world going to be like? The Lamb will lay down with the lion. You say, oh, we're already in the millennial. No, we're not. I tell you what you do. Just to test to see if we're in the millennial yet. Go to the Memphis Zoo, St. Louis Zoo. You can get in St. Louis Zoo for free. Drive up there, 3.5 hours. You can be at St. Louis Zoo. Get in there. It won't cost you nothing. Go to where the lions are. Stick your arm in there. And if that lion comes up and licks you like a cat and purrs and rubs his head up, then we might be in the millennium. But if he gnaws your arm off and you come back to Dyersburg, you know, like, well, we ain't in the millennium. No, we sure ain't. There's coming a world that's coming to where Jesus Christ, there will be no presidents,
amen.
No kings, no queens, no princes and no whatever, nothing. There'll only be one. His name is Jesus Christ. Nobody's going to vote Him in. He's just going to be king. Well, who's going to make Him king? Don't we get to vote? No, you don't get to vote.
He doesn't make Himself king.
He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming back to this earth. He's going to sit in another world where the curse will be lifted off of this place. The lion will lay down with the lamb. And the child will be able to play over the hole of an asp or a lion's den or a crocodile's den. And a child will be 100 years old and still be considered a child. The 1,000-year millennial reign. The one that will be set up in Jerusalem with the bride of Jesus Christ at His right hand in heavenly places. Heaven's going to come down. The new Jerusalem's going to come down and sit on top of this earth as the throne in the new Jerusalem. The King of David will be on the other side.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, oh, we're in that. It's going to happen. It's coming to a city near you.
Yeah.
far above all principality, power, might, dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come.
Yeah.
All right, now watch verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet. Now, you think about this. A God who can sit on his throne in heaven, and the earth and the whole universe. We're not talking about just the earth. We're not talking about just the sun. We're not talking about just this Milky Way. We're not talking about this. We're talking about the whole, whatever you call it, is under his feet. Now just let that lay in your lap a minute. I wonder if he can help me with my problem. I think he can. He's got the whole universe under his feet. You say, what caused the great flood? I mean, God just sort of, he went, flooded the whole thing. That's what kind of God we have. And it doesn't matter what Bill Nye, the science guy, says.
That's right.
There's one element that has been left out. How can this happen when this layer is here? And how can this happen when this dinosaur was found under this many layers and this, that, and the other? If I'd have been there, I'd have said, you're missing one element. When you add God to the equation, all things are possible.
Yeah.
How do you know God didn't create it to look like we've been here millions and millions of years? He just made you look like a dummy. Well, science says we've been here 14 billion years. Oh, really? You really think that? What about if God just created it to look like that? He created Adam, a full-grown man, didn't he?
Yep.
How long was Adam here? 33 years. Adam, how was it to be 5 years old? I don't know. I never was 5 years old.
That's right.
Yeah.
When I got here, I just got here 5 minutes ago, and I was a full-grown man when I got here. Well, no. Science. The evidence of science must prove that you were a boy at one time.
Come on.
I don't remember it if I was. I mean, all I remember is 5 minutes ago, and I'm standing here a full-grown man, 33 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I ain't got no clothes on. That's all I know. Well, Bill Nye would say, no, friend, evidence proves.
No.
You were once born of a mother and a father. And evidence must prove that you were a little baby and you graduated from elementary school. Adam would say, didn't happen to me. Your science may say that, but when you throw God in the equation, which he knows nothing about, they're willingly or ignorant.
Yep. That's right.
Choose to be.
Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness unto him.
Right.
Now, look at this. I don't know why we got off on that, but verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Comma, which is his, what? The fulness of him that's fulfilled, or filled all in all. Now, you see, let me just draw this real quickly. Let me just draw, if I can, real quickly. Because we're about to run out of time. But let's just say, you're going to have to really imagine. Because there's the cross right there. Y'all see the cross? There it is. Jesus died on the cross. And just a few days, well, 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. After he rose from the dead, he spent another 50 days here. And on the right before the 50th day, he ascends into heaven. Y'all with me? He sits down at the right hand of God the Father. This Bible says, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, comma, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. When he sat down, stay with me, when he sat down at the right hand of God, he became the head over a body. He became a head. You can't have a body. You got to have a head. If you have a body before you have a head, you have a monster.
That's right.
A no-headed monster.
Yeah.
You have to have a head first before you have a body. And so Jesus Christ became the head. Let me read it again. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the
head
over all things to the what?
Church.
Okay, church. You mean this building, pulpit, piano, pews, altars? No. He gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his
body.
When did he do that? When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. That's when it happened. Not before, not after, then. It's right there in the Bible. You just sort of have to look at it and read it.
Right.
With your Bible straight up and down. You have to take the commentaries and you sort of just got to put them over in the trash can for a minute. And you just got to read the verses word for word. He tells you word for word, explains it very carefully. When this thing formed, when he raised him from the dead, verse 20, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, he became the head over all things to the church, which is his body. And when you get saved, whenever it was, 20 years ago, 10 years, 5 minutes ago, when you get saved, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit of God, places you, baptizes you, whatever you want to call it, into this body. You become a member of his body. You become a member. You say, what does that include? All right, I got time. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right, do you know what the earthly... Now stay with me, watch this while you're finding 1 Corinthians 12. Do you know what the earthly representation of this thing is? It's called a local New Testament church. It is the earthly, physical representation of the heavenly. We have a bunch of those. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." The Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body. Okay, there's a spirit baptism into this spiritual body, which Jesus Christ is the spiritual head of. All right, what is the earthly representation of that? Well, the earthly representation of this is the local church. The earthly representation of the Spirit baptizing into the body is a picture of a preacher baptizing you back there in water. I mean, okay, I mean, maybe you don't like that, but I'm just telling you that's the picture. If you don't like the picture, oh, we want to do away with baptism. That's fine. Do away with baptism, then you'll have to do away with the local church. Well, I figured it'd get quiet right there. Nobody wants to do away with this, but they want to do away with other pictures that point to. Hey, Ephesians chapter 5 says when you get saved, we are married to Christ. Earthly representation of that. A man and a woman. Only way it works. A man and a woman comes into a earthly representation of this. And they put on a picture of a heavenly representation of a man and a woman joining together an holy matrimony and a union together.
Amen.
To picture a union between Christ and his church.
Amen.
But nobody wants to get rid of that physical representation. If we do one, we do them all.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, anyway, if you're choking on it, get you a drink of water. 1 Corinthians 12 says this. Look at verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is what? Body of Christ. Every person in here that's a member of Holy Hills Baptist Church, you are a picture, you are an earthly representation of the heavenly. Every member in this church, you're either a hand. There's some of you that do a lot of work around here. We couldn't do without your hands. There's some of you that's got feet in here. You're a feet. You're the feet of Holy Hills Baptist Church. We can't keep up with you. I mean, you're all over the place. Doing, running, going, here and there. Hallelujah for you. Everybody's not the feet. Everybody's not the hands. Some people are the eyes of the church. Some people are the smelling. Some people are the ears. And you know what happens in a lot of churches? This is what happens in a lot of local churches. They've got to look and go, well, I ain't the feet. I want to be a foots. And if I can't be a foots, I ain't doing nothing else. I don't like being a hand. I want to be a foot. Okay, that's fine. If your hand and your feet and your brain wants to argue with your feet, that's fine. Just do it in your car. When you're driving up to the red light up here, your brain says, feet, you may want to work with me on this, and you may want to be pushing the brake because the light is red. Nobody tells me what to do. I'll do what I want to. I'm the feet. I ain't working with you. You ain't telling me what to do. I'll stop when I want to stop. And I'll go when I want to go. A body has to work together. You got to do your job and work with somebody else that does their job. Everybody can't play the piano. Everybody can't lead songs. Everybody can't be the preacher. Everybody. It won't always be done like you think it ought to be done. It's a perfect picture. Some of you are the shoulders. You can bear burdens better than anybody. That's why people come to you and tell you their burdens, because you're the shoulder of this church and you bear one another's burdens and you're a good burden bearer. And that's why they come and lay all their problems on your shoulder, because you're a shoulder that people can bear, and or you can bear their burdens.
Amen.
Everybody can't be a shoulder. Everybody can't be a foot. Everybody can't be a hand. Everybody can't smell. Everybody can't see. Everybody can't hear. But everybody does their job in the church. And works together, fitly joined together, till all become in the unity of the faith. Ephesians chapter 4.
Amen.
To the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
It's a spiritual or a earthly picture of the body of Christ.
Right.
Jesus Christ is the head. He's the head. He's attached to this body. His body. His glorious body. And then, of course, next Wednesday night, we'll get to look at chapter number 2. And I meant to get there tonight, and I don't have time. But I wanted to get to these two guys right here. Because Ephesians chapter 2 is going to tell you about this guy who was dead in sin. And he became this guy. And it's really a blessing to be able to see. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. Everything deals with what God has done for you. When we get to Ephesians 4, 5, and 6, that's what you are supposed to be doing for God, because He's done so much for us in 1, 2, and 3. Because He's done so much for us in 1, 2, and 3, sealed us, predestinated us, adopted us, accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. Because He's done so much for us, then 4, 5, and 6, Lord, show me what I can do for you. And in 4, 5, and 6. Chapter 6 says, put on the whole armor of God. You want to do something for God? Put on the whole armor of God. That you may be able to stand in the evil day. Having done all, to stand. Stand, having your loins girded about with truth. The breastplate of righteousness. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's what you can do for Him. Why? Because He done this for you. That's a blessing. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, I wanted to quit just a little.